This is a production of the ZTalk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Wow. It's dark. Well, let's have some light on the subject.
Put on your critical thinking caps and please refrain from hugging. It's time for Dimland Radio with your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons.
Hello and welcome to Dimland Radio here on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. I just play doctor online, and it might sound a little different than I normally do. I'm coming to you from my very special home studio, which is the bathroom in the basement, because I'm not at Nostalgia Zone today. My wife and I have a memorial service to attend for a very dear friend of hers. Her father had died recently, and so we're taking the day off of work, but I'm still going to record a show, so here I am. So I hope I sound okay. Sorry about last week's show, the beginning of it. I don't know how it matched up. I did an edit at the beginning of the show because I had screwed up something, and hopefully I haven't screwed up something this time, at least not in the same way. I don't know if the audio at the beginning of the show matched the audio from the rest of the show because I was using a different microphone and whatever. Okay, so you get past that first couple few minutes of last week's show, it should be fine, right? Right? Anyway, so as long as I mentioned Nostalgia Zone, I might as well get the ad out of the way. Nostalgia Zone is a comic book store that I work for in Minneapolis. We deal in back issues of comic books and magazines. We don't get the new stuff as it comes out. That usually trickles in a couple of years, 3 years down the road, we get those books. You know, they start to come in. You know, that's kind of how it works out. But anyway, we deal in back issues of comic books, Marvel Comics, DC, Charlton, Dell, Harvey, Archie Comics, all kinds of back issues of comic books. Whatever you're into, check out our website. Go to NostalgiaZone.com. You can become a member of our membership, and you'll save 10% on your purchases. You earn points that you can use in future purchases to save even more. So as the boss likes to say, you save 10% on the front end and you get 10% on the back end, right? Because that's the points are 10% of what you pay at any point, you know, pre-tax, of course. Anyway, so you get that. You'll get an email once or twice a month from us, just letting you know about new product that, you know, new comic books that have come in, or what sales we might have going on, things like that. So anyway, Nostalgia Zone, it's in Minneapolis, it's on Lake Street, and it's a place where I work, and I'd like to continue working there. It's a nice little store. Back issues of comic books and magazines. We've got other kinds of nicks and knacks if you come into the store itself, but online, that's where you're going to find our comic books and magazines. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, sign up for a membership, NostalgiaZone.com. Keep that store going, huh? How about that? Sounds good. Great. Anyway, so I did talk last time about this, the not knowing how many phone calls it takes to stop a newspaper delivery. My father was a person who got a newspaper all his adult life, and that was his thing, and he was willing to pay for that. And I'm telling you, a subscription for a daily delivered newspaper right now is a lot of money. It's like $1,700 for a year. Not quite, but pretty damn close. I worked out the math on that. That's like $4.60-something a paper. I don't know what the newsstand cost of a paper is, but I doubt it's that much. It just seems really weird. But anyway, Dad got the newspaper for a long time, and well, he died back in October. Amy and I had inherited his house. We'd moved in to help take care of him in the last couple few months of his life. And You know, so the newspaper subscription continued. Got a renewal notice, decided I'm not going to renew this, so I let them know that I want to cancel the paper. This was back in February. February 21st was supposed to be the last day I got a paper, and I kept getting a paper after that. I called another three times to tell them to stop delivering the paper. And on that fourth, you know, on that third time calling back, but the fourth phone call overall, I said, I'm not calling back again. So if the paper keeps coming, I'm not calling you again. I'm just taking the paper because it's free. And I don't really even do anything with it. I scan the headlines on the front page. If an article catches my eye, I might read it. But otherwise, it just goes into a stack and we put it in the recycle. So anyway, on Eclipse Day, April 8th, which was a Monday, there was no paper. I looked and, hey, there's no paper. Don't get too excited. It's just one day, because over that time period where I kept getting the paper, there were like two or three days where a paper didn't show up. There was some weather trouble or something. For whatever reason, there were like 3 days where I didn't get a paper, but otherwise every day getting a paper. So I thought, okay, let's not get excited. It's just one day. Then Tuesday was no paper. And I thought, well, that's 2 days, but 2 days is not a pattern make. And then Wednesday, no paper. Well, I start thinking, maybe. Thursday, no paper. Oh, this is potentially looking good. I think maybe the message got through. Friday, no paper. All right, I think the message has gotten through. Saturday, no paper. All right, good, it's done. Sunday, paper. And I thought, well, okay, it's Sunday. Maybe there was like, you know, I don't know. Maybe, It was just a mistake, a goof. It's Sunday paper. Sometimes people just get the Sunday paper. I don't know. Okay, there's a paper. And then there's been a paper every morning since then. And even this morning, went out, walked the dog, come around to the front of the house. There's the paper. I'm telling you, I don't know how many phone calls it takes to stop the delivery of a paper. I thought maybe it would be four, because, well, it did finally stop for a week, and then it started right back up. I don't know, maybe this week is an anomaly. Maybe it won't be delivered tomorrow, and I won't get a paper again. Or maybe I will. I don't know. And I think a friend suggested, well, you know, get up at 4 a.m, wait outside, and so when that person who delivers the paper shows up, you can tell them directly, would you please stop delivering the paper here? You're just wasting your time and you're wasting a paper. And I don't want you to do that. Or I could wait until, I mean, depending, if it goes through the end of the year and the guy gives us a card with the paper with that hint, hint, give me a tip, I'll give him a tip and I'll send him a card and I'll say, thank you so much for giving us a free newspaper since February, because we canceled this back then. And here's a tip. Please stop delivering the paper to us. Maybe that's what I'll end up having to do. I don't know. Time will tell. So the eclipse did happen. That's right. Monday the 8th, April 8th, there was in the United States and parts of Mexico and I guess parts of Canada, had a total solar eclipse. And I learned something about eclipses after that. There's such a thing as a total eclipse and an annular eclipse. An annular eclipse, it's the same kind of thing as a total solar eclipse. It's a solar eclipse as well, the annular one. And that is where, the moon does still pass between the Earth and the sun and blocks out the sun and casts a shadow, makes dark things a little bit darker. But an annular eclipse, the moon is farther away from us at that point. It's not in a perfectly circular orbit around us. I guess at certain times, you know, it's a little farther away, it's a little closer. There's terms for this and I didn't look them up, sorry. And when it's an annular solar eclipse, it's when the moon is it's a bit farther away from Earth so that it doesn't match up in size in the sky with the sun as well as it does during a total eclipse when the moon is closer to the Earth. So it's not a total eclipse. You don't get that little diamond burst as the moon is getting into full position in front of the sun and coming out of full position in front of the sun. You get that little diamond burst, they call it, or something like that. And you don't get the perfect, you know, that just that roundness where just that slight little bit of light around the edge of the moon showing us off the corona a little bit and all that. You don't get that either because you get more of the sun coming around, which I think would still be cool to see. It may not be as, I don't know, I haven't seen either, but people who have seen the total eclipse, it's just, you know, life-changing, it's just amazing, it's all that kind of stuff. I haven't heard them talk about seeing an annular eclipse. So I learned that thing. There's this difference between a total solar eclipse and an annular solar eclipse, and that's the difference, which I just told you, so now you know. Hopefully I didn't get anything wrong in my explanation there. So the eclipse came through the United States, and you can remember that I talked about it and said, well, it's not going to be, Minnesota, the Twin Cities is not on the path of totality of a total solar eclipse. We're not going to be on that path until 2099. And it'll be cloudy that day, I guarantee it. But it will be. I mean, the Twin Cities will be directly on the path. I looked at the map, the path of it, and it goes right across the Twin Cities. But again, it's 2099. My son might have a chance to see it. He will be by that point. He will be 93, I think. He'll be 96, I think. So he was born in 2003 in August. Astrologers put your charts away. So he'll be 96 when that thing comes around. And it's there's an outside chance. And there is a chance for me in 2044, there'll be a total solar eclipse that'll come through mostly in Canada. It'll come down mostly in Canada and it'll get into the United States. Coming across the top of Montana and just edging into North and South Dakota before it's done. And that's 2044, so I'll be about 80 when that happens. There's an outside chance that I'd be able to, head over to that part of Montana or maybe up into Canada or something to see it. But again, it'll probably be cloudy. So, and that's kind of a theme here on this. As you recall, when I talked about it before, I said I was thinking about the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe crew, the rogues on that show, the people that host that show. They had planned a trip, the whole group of them, to go to Dallas, Texas, to see the eclipse there. This one that just happened. And they picked that area because they were told that at that time of year, Texas has lots of sunny days. That the getting clouds in the way of the sun is just not, it's not as likely in that part. They could have gone to places much closer to home. They're from Connecticut. They could have gone up to Maine or somewhere in upstate New York. They could have gone into those areas. It's much closer to where they live, but the chances for cloudy skies is greater. So they were weighing what would work better. This is as I understand it. I might have some details wrong. I don't know. And one of the rogues, Bob Novella, had this. If you can accept that a very true skeptic, someone who's very practiced in being a skeptic and holds all kinds of things up to that skeptical eye that they have, if you can believe that they can sometimes be a little superstitious on some things, well, Bob has that sort of thing. He calls it his superpower to make sure that any kind of a celestial event that can be witnessed with the naked eye will be obscured by clouds if he's around. And it was really looking like that was going to happen in Texas. A few days before weather people, local weather person here, was showing maps of a forecasted cloud cover for Monday during the eclipse, and they were showing that that part of Texas over Dallas and that part of that section of Texas was going to have a lot of clouds, and Minnesota, of course, was going to have clouds, and even though we weren't going to see the total thing, we could see just a partial. It would have been cool to see the partial, not as cool as seeing the total thing, but it would still be cool. But, but it looked like we were going to be getting clouds, which is kind of typical, I guess. But it looked like Texas was going to have that. And I felt really bad for the SGU and for Bob in particular because, he'd been talking about it. And, the day came along. I got a text early in the day from my old next door neighbor, who had moved down to Texas. And she's near Dallas, and she's a day or two before I was texting with her, and we were sort of lamenting, well, it looks like it's gonna be cloudy, and I'm sorry, but she's it looks like it's gonna be cloudy, and okay, well. She texted me that early that day and said, we're going to be able to see it because the cloud coverage was not so bad and it doesn't look like it was going to be good for viewing the eclipse. And she was very excited about it. And I was excited for her. And I thought, that's good news for Bob and the SGU because they're going to see it too. And it's great. And they did. I saw posts on Facebook with them saying that they got to see it and Bob's superpower failed and whatever. But we haven't heard the reaction yet on the podcast. The most recent podcast, they dropped their show on Saturdays. So last week's show was a show that was recorded in front of a live audience. They don't normally do that. In Dallas. So they were there, ready to take in the eclipse. And they were talking about how, Bob was saying, it's going to be cloudy. And it's all, it had all that kind of thing going on. Steve Novella, the main host of the show, said, it hasn't happened yet. And there's a chance. He was holding out some optimism. Well, that Monday, they got to see it. So I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast that will drop later today. I'm recording this on a Saturday morning. And to hear their reactions to it on the show, because I'm sure they're going to talk about it. It's going to be good. And I felt so happy for them. Now, here in the Twin Cities, again, the forecaster may have gotten the cloud coverage wrong about what was going on down there in Texas, but they nailed it for the Twin Cities. Oh, boy. The Thursday before was the Minnesota Twins home opener. And it was kind of a chilly day, but it had what I would call, what I always think of as the Simpsons sky. What do I mean? The animated series that's been going on for the last 48 years on Fox, The Simpsons. Well, they have their opening and they show the clouds in the sky and they part and the word The Simpsons comes out and like that. And then you get the people saying, The Simpsons, and they go into their opening theme. Well, it's that shot of the clouds in the blue sky. I see that occasionally when... when the weather conditions are just right and I look up in the sky and I think, it's a Simpsons sky because it looks like the opening of that show. And that's what we had on that Thursday. All day, puffy little clouds dotting the sky, coming around. That's what we had. Lots of blue sky, and we got to see a military, I think the plane is a C-130. I think that's what my friend Craig said it was. Did a flyover. So we got up on the roof of the building in which Amy and I, my wife Amy, in which we work, and it's a five-story building. So we got up onto the roof and we watched the plane fly over, and we were a little disappointed. We were hoping for a couple of fighter jets because they're cooler, but this was pretty cool, and I got some good video of it coming over, and that was fun. So the sky was really nice that day, and I went up there and looked around and said, hey, today would be a nice day for an eclipse. Then Friday, completely blue skies, hardly a cloud at all. Saturday, same thing. Both days I said, what a great day it would be to have a solar eclipse. Wouldn't it be a great day today? Sunday, just as the weather people predicted, clouded over, rainy all day. Monday, just as they predicted, cloudy all day. We went up onto the roof. to look and see what we could see, and it, we couldn't even really pinpoint exactly where the sun was. That's how cloudy it was. You know, it's got to be over there somewhere, but it really didn't. You know, it didn't. It was so cloudy. It just didn't have a brighter spot. The sun's got to be there because it's brighter. No, it didn't quite look like that. So, you know, we didn't get to see shit. Not that we would. Certainly not the totality. We weren't going to get that. But it would have been nice to be able to see some of the, you know, some of the moon going across the sun, and, you know, use the little pinhole in a piece of paper and you know, reflect it, you know, or aim it down at the ground so you can see the sun, little half sun kind of thing, you know, going on. You can do that with, you know, the paper with a pinhole in it, or you can get a colander. I saw people with pictures like that. If you have leaves and trees, the light will dapple its way through. You will get on the ground all sorts of little, you know, crescent suns, images on the ground. It's really cool. So I got to try and hope that I'm a healthy enough fellow at age 80 and can afford to take a trip out to Montana to see a total eclipse. Hopefully it won't be cloudy. But that's my next shot. Either that or we go on a cruise, one of those eclipse cruises, and do that. But those can be expensive. And even though we've gotten a little bit of money, doesn't mean that you know, we can't spend it all. I mean, we can try, but we can't spend it all, right? Okay, I've got to the first break in my show, so you are listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Jim Fitzsimmons. I will be back after this break. Seeing me walking around, I'm the boy I've had sound that you heard of. Seeing me walking the streets, I'm on top of the world that you heard of. Cool, I play with your sea wind. I glide upstream, I glide downstream.
If this station's not your cup of tea,
then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
But you might say that.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Professor Dave. I want to teach you about all kinds of things regarding science. I want to tell you about physics. I want to tell you about chemistry, biology, astronomy, math, and many, many more things. Come check me out on YouTube. The channel is called Professor Dave Explains. Take it easy.
He knows a lot about the science stuff. Professor Dave Explains.
Hey, I almost forgot. It's time for... It's quiz time on Dimland Radio. Everybody got your pens ready? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question here. It's a multiple choice answer. Can you name the person who said this? That's why I don't eat friggin' lobster or anything like that, because they're alive when you kill it. Was that A, Mahatma Gandhi, B, Jane Goodall, C, Albert Einstein, or D, Snooky? This has been Quiz Time on Dimland Radio.
Hey, this is Danny Potts from the Kentucky Ghost Chasers, and you're listening to ZTalk Radio.
This is a public service announcement. We'll get some! Know your rights! Oh, forever!
And welcome back to Dimland Radio here in the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, once again coming from the basement bathroom of my house. Let's see, what's next? Ghost balloons. Ghost balloons. I saw this on my Facebook. It was shared by someone who is a former Z-talker. I won't give any more details than that, but they, other than that, they are deep into the paranormal stuff, which is a lot of, which explains a lot of the people of Z-Talk Radio. A lot of them have, were deep into the paranormal stuff, and you know me, I'm not. I've often maintained the what I'd heard from other skeptics when they talk about the supernatural and the paranormal. Once we've figured out what it is, whatever this, you know, it's a supernatural and paranormal is sort of like a placeholder explanation, as far as, you know, as far as science would be concerned, and science would say, you know, the scientists would look at that and say, well, your explanation is probably not true, but until we figured out what it is, I suppose you're going to hold that as an explanation. Like, for instance, lightning. People didn't know what lightning was, so they just made it up and said, well, it's Zeus up on top of that mountain there throwing energy bolts at us because he's mad. Okay, all right, whatever. That's what they thought it was. And then science figured it out. It's not. It's a static electricity discharge because of the air masses coming, you know, hot and cold air masses coming together, and in that turbulent atmosphere, it creates static electricity, and it discharges on occasion. That's lightning, and that's what's going on. So it started out being supernatural or paranormal, and then once it was figured out, it became natural and normal. That's what it was. That's how it is. That's why there can never be actually something supernatural or paranormal, because once it's explained, it becomes natural and normal. Once it's figured out what it is, you know, and I'm telling you, as I say often, and as the, I don't know, the maxim or the idiom or the bylaw or whatever of Dimland Radio, that magic is never the answer. It's just not. None of these mysteries have ever turned out to be magic as the answer. When they're solved, it's something that might be rare, but it's something that, oh, there's a natural, real world explanation for why that happens. All right. So that's my train of thought. That's where I look at the world. The direction I look from which I look at the world is that, okay, there's something I might not be able to explain that, but that doesn't mean that it's not explainable, and it doesn't mean that I can put in whatever explanation I want to make up. It just is. It's in the category of, I don't know. So anyway, this one Z-talker, former Z-talker, is big into the hunting for ghosts stuff. Big fan of all the hunting for ghost TV shows, on which no one has ever found a ghost. They've never found one. They find anomalies because that's what they are. They're paranormal anomaly hunters. They're just anomaly hunters. They find anomalies. They don't find ghosts, or they don't find Bigfoot, or they don't find Loch Ness Monster. They don't find all kinds of things that they're looking for. They don't find them. But they find weird things, and they attest that those weird things were caused by the thing that they were looking for. And it's just, no, you just found some anomaly. It's a weird thing. You were using a digital recorder, and you turned the volume way, 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 way up, and somewhere in that background static noise, you heard something that you thought sounded like somebody saying something, and then, you know, and then you interpreted it as being, hey, ghosts exist. I'm sorry, but that doesn't convince me. So this Z-talker would they'll post stuff about ghost things and going to the ghost conventions and meeting up with the big time ghost hunters, and I just mildly amusedly notice them and just kind of move on. But every now and then there's something it's like. Yes, I have to comment. And they shared a video, and I watched some of it, but it's a video of some ghost hunters in some creepy house or creepy building, and there were some helium-filled balloons. There's two of them, I think. Floated up, and they've gone up, and they've been sitting against the ceiling. But they noticed, the ghost hunters noticed, that those balloons are slowly moving, all on their own. They're just moving along the ceiling. Just very slowly. It took like 30 minutes for it to get from one part of the ceiling over to another part, which opens up to a stairwell. And it made its way there and floated up the stairwell. And this is significant why? Apparently ghosts like to move balloons along really slowly. They'd like to just really slowly move this balloon along. I'm reminded of the when the paranormal investigators showed up in the movie Poltergeist. Remember that movie came out 1980 something. Poltergeist comes out, and it's Tobe Hooper was the director, and Steven Spielberg directed it. It really feels like a Spielberg film, but I take the word of the credits that Tobe Hooper directed it. Anyway, there's a scene in there where there's something going on in this house. There's some poltergeist activity happening in this house, and the homeowners, instead of getting out, they bring in a para research team, a paranormal research group. They come in. There's three of them. They come in to study the house. And one of them, they're just about to show the room that has the most activity. It's the kids' room, and the door's closed. And one guy's talking about how he had filmed or videoed a toy car moving across the floor all on its own, and it took like 7 hours or whatever it is to move 10 feet. It's just captured. It's the most exciting thing. Look at that, it's so exciting. And the homeowner is acting like, yeah, that's exciting. Opens the door, and there's stuff flying around in the room all on its own, flying around. There's toys and lamps and whatever in the kids' room, just all flying, and the paranormal investigator's jaws drop and all that. And of course, this can only happen in a movie because there's special effects and things that they can make happening. And I can accept that in a movie. This is in this world that the movie is showing us, this kind of stuff happens. I can accept that. In this world in which we live, that sort of stuff doesn't happen. You have the people that are very enthusiastic about paranormal stuff will say, they'll talk about things moving on their own, but they never really get to show us this stuff happening. It's never caught. It's never seen, except these balloons. Helium-filled balloons that just slowly move along the ceiling and find a way up to the stairwell and float away. It's amazing. It has to be a ghost. Well, I put a comment on there saying, have these people never heard of air currents? You're in a building. There's air currents in a building. Was the furnace, did you have a forced air furnace? Was that running? Air conditioning? Was that running? You know, there's where it's interesting that, and I'm not a physicist, maybe I'm off base here, I don't have a full grasp on how this works, but you know, I know there's air current in a building. Even if there is, the furnace isn't running, or the air conditioner isn't running, or all the doors are closed and the windows are closed, even if all that's happening, there's still air current in the building. It's very slight. But it's still there. And it seems to me that there being a stairwell nearby this hallway or room or whatever where the balloons are up on the ceiling, that might be pulling air just ever so gently across and up into the stairwell. And so those balloons, filled with helium, are just moving along with the current. It's a very slow current, but it's just moving along. It's not a ghost. But it's like, well, I can't think of an explanation, so it has to be a ghost. It's ridiculous. And this is something that this person put up, like, this is supposed to be some wow moment. I hear stories. I have a co-worker's told me a story of apparition that they saw, and the person that they were with both saw this apparition. I don't know how many years ago it was. I don't know. Sounds weird. I find that scary. But I can tell you my story of seeing an apparition. Because I did. I guess. You could call it that. I was like 10. Maybe 11. I don't know. I was a little kid. My younger brother, it was in this house in which I am sitting in the bathroom of, in this, whatever, how the words work. It's in this house. I mean, practically just above where I'm sitting. In the bedroom that my wife and I now occupy. And my younger brother and I, way back when, in the mid-70s, 73 to about 77, I moved my room into a room down here in the basement. So somewhere in that window, from 73 to 77, somewhere in that 4 years, my younger brother and I were sharing that room. We had bunk beds at the time. I was in the top bunk. I wore glasses in those days. I used to think I didn't start wearing glasses till I was in the fourth grade, and then I found in my mom's collection of family pictures, found a picture of me from the second grade wearing glasses, and I went, oh, well, I guess I was wrong. Anyway, so I was wearing glasses then, you know, I mean, not at the time I saw the ghost, but, or saw the apparition, or whatever it was. I'll tell you what it was. It's the middle of the night, I woke up. So many of these ghost sightings and things happen from somebody's asleep and they wake up and see something. So, okay, so your brain's not exactly on, you know, firing just right because you were asleep and you wake up and, you know, you're not perfectly aware, right, immediately, are you? So anyway, so I woke up and it's dark in the room. It's not a basement room. It's on the first floor of the house, you know, we just have a one-story house with a basement. And it's a corner room. So there's a window on each wall, you know, if the exterior walls, there's a window. So and there's lights outside. Some people leave their house light on in the yard, or there's a light in the alley behind us. You know, there's lights on out there. I woke up, and over toward where the bedroom door is, was a person standing there. That's what I swear I saw. I swear I saw a person standing there. Excuse me. And I, you know, 10-year-old kid, started calling out for my parents, Mom, Dad, no, Mom, you know, freaked out. And they come in, turn on the light, the person disappeared. And I told them what I saw and all that kind of stuff. And my mom explained to me the concept of a trick of the light. You know, it was dark. I wasn't wearing my glasses. Just woke up, and you know, I'm like, I think my mom went through all that part, but she says it's dark, there's a little bit of light that comes in from outside, and it casts light and shadow against the wall. You know, she was explaining in similar fashion, just saying, and it was just your eyes were playing tricks on you. Is that there was nothing there. You know, you turn off the light again, look, and say, oh, you see, you kind of see what you're seeing, but there's nothing there. There's no ghosts, there's no nothing. Now, and I'm thankful that my parents were, and especially my mom, was the sort that would explain it that way instead of saying, ooh, maybe you did see a ghost. Which, I don't know, but that may have been what the parent of this Z-talker who thinks that ghosts exist might have reacted. Oh, really? Did you see a ghost? I don't know. I don't know if that would be the reaction. But, you know, that might lead to somebody later in life being more prone to seeing ghosts or having that explanation, then it's a trick of the light. This stuff happens. Your eyes play tricks on you. Happens all the time. You know, you see something out of the corner of your eye, you turn and look, you think that it's like a person standing there, you turn and look and get a better look at it, and you see that, no, it's just a coat hanging over a chair or something. You know, and it's just from the angle, the amount of information that was coming into your brain through your eyes, the amount of information that you were getting wasn't enough for you to identify, but your brain picks a pattern anyway, and that pattern tends to be another person or something. That's what you see. I it's not always a person, but I was driving and heading out in my car, driving down the street, looking forward to the next intersection, just looking up there and seeing, and I swear I saw the arc of a hose spraying across the intersection. And, God damn it, sorry. It wasn't a hose, but that's, as I looked up at that first instance, that's the pattern my brain put in my, you know, put in from the visual information that I had at that moment. But the closer I looked at it, I realized it's just a car turning onto the intersection. And it was a highlight of the sun glinting off the top of the roof that made it look like it was an arc shape of some kind. And I just, my brain just put in, you know, somebody spraying a hose, and that's the arc of the water coming out of the hose going across the intersection. But it was a car. And I just was reminded, your eyes play tricks on you. You don't always have all the information. Your brain doesn't always have all the information it needs to determine what it is that you're seeing, but it puts something in there anyway with what information you do have. And a lot of times it's a mistake. So, I think air currents in that building are a much more realistic explanation as to why those two balloons were making their way across the ceiling and up into the stairwell. I think that's a more realistic explanation for what was going on than ghosts are playing with balloons. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know everything, but I do know it's time for my next break. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. Oh, excuse me. I kind of caught my breath for a second there. Whew, I don't know why. Just did. Sometimes that happens. Anyway, I'll be back after this break.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you think Bigfoot is real? Do you suspect that your neighbor is really Val Tor, leader of the lizard people of Bendar 3? Well, Dr. Dim doesn't, and he'll tell you why when you tune into Dimland Radio Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern on Z-Talk Radio Network. It's an hour of science promotion, pop culture rants, personal observation, and of course, skepticism. Join Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern, for Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network. He's endlessly pushing the rock of reason up the hill of paranormal. It's Dr. Dim, and you're listening to Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network.
Get him some Z's. Get him some Z's. Getting some Z's. Wake up. Listen to Z-Talk Radio on ztalkradio.com.
And welcome back to Dimland Radio here in the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. I'm going to take another sip. I took a couple while I was on the break to try to wet the gullet, but I think I'm going to take another one, so bear with me just a moment. You know, it's not easy to pad these things out to an hour, although quite often when I think the show's going to go shorter. Oh, hey, by the way, that's some good Dr. Pepper Zero. Okay, it's not easy to pad these things out to an hour. However, when, like, last show, I thought I was going to go short and end up going, like, 4 minutes over. So, you know, I go over a lot most of the time. In fact, coming in under an hour is pretty rare. So, I guess maybe it is easy to pad these things out to an hour. Oh, well, anyway. Oh, I do have one of these. Hang on. I got to get to the thing. Okay, here we go. I've got one of these. Hold on.
And now, it's time for a Dimland Radio Pedantic Moment.
Yeah, this ought to be good.
Well, I hope it is good. It's going to be a little political. So, beware. Abortion. out there in Arizona, as I understand it, the State Supreme Court of Arizona has handed down a ruling that allows the state to have a pretty draconian abortion ban. I don't think it's a full-on thing. It's like, you know, the life of the mother kind of provision in there, but it's pretty draconian ban. And this is this is something that's concerning a lot of people who think that women should have the right to control their bodies. And and this is, I think, on the political sense, this is a winner for Democrats come this November. It's been a winner for Democrats in just about every election that's been taking place since the Roe v. Wade decision had been overturned by the court that has three members put on it by Peerless Loser, and those three members had said essentially, oh, it's settled law, we're not going to do anything to that. Oh, no, we wouldn't. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. Oh, we wouldn't do anything to that. Oh, we got enough members to do something about it. Oh, we'll do something about it. I don't know if that's lying to Congress. You know, when they do the or is it the Senate confirmation hearings? I don't know if that's lying to them. When they say, oh, it's settled law, it's precedent. The precedent's very important to the Supreme Court. It's settled law. And it's settled law. And then maybe didn't, you know, maybe there wasn't the exact word saying, oh, no, I would never turn that over. But that's the impression they were giving, right? And is an impression a lie? I don't know. Anyway. As soon as the orange one got his third member on the court, and a case made its way up to the Supreme Court, the Dobbs case, as soon as that happened, they turned that Roe v. Wade over in a heartbeat. Boom, it's turned over. It's overturned, I should say. We're done. It's overturned. It's done. And so that it's, and then it was just, oh, it's just going to go back to the states. It'll go back to the states. That's all that's going to happen. And a couple weeks later, Lindsey Graham says, hey, you know what? We should have a national ban. I think, you know I've never been near a woman, but other than my mother and my grandmother, but, and not in that way. But I think I know what's right for women. And so they shouldn't have it should be what the ban was. I think 15 weeks was it? Anyway. And then I've heard some discussion about that may not be horrible because it might kind of be what Roe was already. I don't know. I just know that it has affected the voting in the elections. I think it can be directly, or at least most of the decisions that have happened in the last elections can be attributed to this abortion thing, you know, the fact that it's that Roe v. Wade had been taken away as the law of the land. And so when states have put abortion rights onto the ballot, those rights get passed, and that's what's been happening. And so out there in Arizona, the state Supreme Court had enacted a ban, but they've also allowed for a vote on the ballot for in November to, you know, have the voters decide whether abortion rights should be the law of the land in Arizona. So that's coming up in November, which can help Democrats, can help the actual good and decent president that we have now. Yes, I know he's not doing everything perfectly, but for Christ's sake, you're never going to have the perfect candidate. You're never going to be completely happy with whoever is in office. You're never going to have it. Even if they're in the party you support, or if they're toward the political spectrum that you're on, maybe they're not fully out there with you. Maybe you're way more to the left than Joe Biden is, or you're way more to the right than the orange one is. So you're never, you know. But well, the MAGA cultists are always happy with whatever Trump does. They're always happy with that. But that's an outlier. Just, you know, you're not going to get the perfect situation. So, you know, part of the reason, I think, that we ended up with this dipshit albatross around our backs was because the Bernie bros just were so upset that Bernie wasn't the candidate and it was Hillary Clinton. So they didn't vote. So thanks a lot, guys. I know it's not the only reason. There's lots of things. She didn't campaign very hard in states that she thought she just, you know, were automatic, and she didn't, you know, there were things. Nevertheless, we are where we are. And it does seem to me the abortion, just, you know, the Roe v. Wade thing has energized a lot of people. So that could be good for come November, that people will come out and, you know, hopefully they'll also, you know that they've got a convicted guy, you know, from this thing in New York. I mean, hopefully he'll be guilty. And this, look, this guy was convicted of a fraud, of business fraud, not hush money. That's, they call it hush money, and I guess it's election interference is what he was doing. It's business fraud, and this fraud was being done in order to, it's election fraud. You know, it was being done in order to make it possible for him to be elected. Because if that news had come out, it might have stopped him. You know, it might have turned people back to voting for Hillary, or they would have not voted for Trump. Anyway, so that's going on, and it's a delight to see the man in court, to see pictures of him, and to see the drawings of him snoozing away. It's a delight. But anyway, one of the things that I keep hearing, and this is leading to my pedantic moment. Sorry, a lot of groundwork I had to set there. One of the things that I keep hearing when talking about this decision out in Arizona is that it was based on an 1864 law, a Civil War era law. This is the 1864 law era or law that I see that in headlines all the time. I hear people talking about it when they're commenting. You know, the people, the left wingers that I listen to on YouTube, they're constantly calling it the 1864 law, the Civil War era law, as if that matters. Why does that matter? Why are they doing it? And look, I'm on their side. Don't get me wrong. I'm on their side. I'm on the side of the woman having the right to choose. I'm on their side. But why does it matter what year the law was passed? I think what they're doing is trying to taint that law with the idea that it's old and it's backward. We don't have to pay attention to it. Oh, that's old. It's backward. It's 1864. It's old. You know, we don't have to pay attention to it. It's ridiculous. That kind of thing. Remember when the state of Colorado, and there was a couple other states, at least one other state, attempted to keep Peerless Loser from appearing on the ballot this November? Remember that? And what they were talking about was the 14th Amendment. There's these Section 3 of the 14th Amendment talks about people who have that are in government, federal government, taking part in an insurrection or supporting an insurrection or doing that cannot be allowed to hold federal office ever again. Right? That's what people keep pointing, you know, that 14th Amendment was what the Colorado state had decided to take, was a good reason to keep Trump off the ballot. Well, then the Supreme Court said, no, it's not. And so they weren't allowed. And it was a unanimous ruling by the Supreme Court, you know, that they couldn't do it, which was kind of sad, but, you know, that's how it goes. But I didn't hear anybody say, you know, or at least they may have mentioned when, if they did talk about why that part was in, that amendment was in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment. They did talk about it because it was directly related to the Civil War, you know, and it was just, that's why that it was enacted, you know, to keep, those people that were traitors to this country from holding federal office. But it's not the same way. Every time they talk about the 14th Amendment, they don't say that 1868 amendment, that Reconstruction era amendment. They don't say that. There's 14th Amendment. They do explain why it was put in there. True. But when it's referred to more often than not, it's just the 14th Amendment. There's no what year it was ratified into law. There's no they're not doing that. Well, that 1864 law, that Civil War era law, 1864. I hear it all the time, but I don't hear 1868 amendment. That 1868 amendment, Reconstruction era. I don't hear that. Well, why not? Why am I not hearing that? Why, for that matter, why aren't we hearing the Constitution? The Constitution of the United States was ratified in 1788. The Bill of Rights were ratified in 1791. The first 10 amendments, the First Amendment. Nobody talks about the First Amendment, calling it, that 1791 amendment. It's old, it's backward. Let's just ignore it. We don't have that going. So I know, again, I'm on the same team as these people that are talking about this ridiculous law that Arizona used, but I'm on the same team. We want the same ends, but I don't know. It's just as a pedant, it bothered me that they would they kept saying the year that law was done. I thought, well, so what? So it's an old law. So it's been on the books for a long time. So what? The Constitution's been around for longer than that. Should we just ignore it because it's old? No. So anyway, those are my thoughts. What do you think? Be sure to like and subscribe and click the notifications. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't YouTube. Sorry. Okay, before I get out of here, and I'm going to get out of here soon, I promise. I don't know if I've told you about my wife's and my plans for, like, vacations. I think I might have mentioned that this fall, Amy and I are going to go to England, Scotland, and Ireland. So we're going on a long trip to those places. I may have mentioned this, but it was when we were selling the house and we were going to get a chunk of money, and I said to my wife, I said, when all this is settled, let's crack out some of that money and let's go on a trip, because we didn't do a honeymoon, we didn't do anything like that, we haven't done any big trip, and we discussed where we were going to go, and Amy's been making all the arrangements and getting everything set up, and it's and I'm going to meet somebody. At least that's the plan. Meet somebody that I know through the internet in Scotland, who's also a fan of the Stuck in the 80s podcast. And speaking of the Stuck in the 80s podcast, this is another thing that Amy and I are going to do. Next spring, we're going to go on the 80s cruise. Now, I mentioned this to one of my bosses about going on a cruise. My boss looked at me and said, what could possibly appeal to you, me specifically, what could possibly appeal to you about going on a cruise? You're not into the sun. You're not into sand and surf and being in something, on a boat with a bunch of strange people. He says why? Why would you want to do this? And I said, well, it's the 80s cruise, and it's the Stuck in the 80s podcast. And I consider myself friends to an extent. I mean, we don't hang out because we live in different parts of the country. But I've known these guys for years, and I've chatted with them, and I've been a guest host on the show a couple of times. Brad and Steve, Steve is the main host of the show, and Brad, and a co-host, and a fellow named Chuck, who's a fan of the show, and he too has been part of the show on occasion, and he's big on this 80s cruise thing. So we had some money, and I said to my wife, what do you think? What do you think we do that? And I had this idea that if I could ever do the cruise thing, what I would do was I wouldn't let the hosts of the show know that I was going. And I would just pop up to them first day of the cruise and say, hi, guys, and see if they recognize me. That's one thing. But I did talk to one of the fellows, Chuck, and he said, he suggested I join the Facebook groups to get some advice and just, learn what I can learn from the Facebook groups. And he says, but, Steve goes on that. He's going to know. So I thought, I should tell Steve. And I did. And Steve was happy that I told him, because he said, this way we can plan things. we can plan to, you know, a dinner together. We can plan maybe even me showing up on, you know, they do, Brad and Steve host trivia, like four sessions of trivia stuff for 80s stuff. They, you know, so maybe I could be part of one of those trivia sessions or something. You know, just think we can plan something, you know. So he was glad I told him. But when I first mentioned it to him, I said, well, I've got news. Amy and I, that's my wife, Amy, and I are, we're going on the 80s cruise next spring. He said, what? Seriously? He said, you are the anti-cruise guy. And I said, people change.
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Well, got to the end of another show. You've been listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, reminding you to, that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, and magic is never the answer, and whatever else I say. Oh, and also, sleep with the lights off. We'll see you next time.
You can check out my show notes at dimland.com. Just click on the blog option, and you can email your questions and comments to drdim@dimland.com. That's drdim@dimland.com. And the opening theme song, Ram, is by Theolius and is used with permission.
Has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
What did you think of tonight's installment of Dimland Radio?
Well,
I'm going to hell.